Well, calls to tear down monuments honouring leaders accused of atrocities are sweeping the globe, but the movement isn't confined to statues. There are now plans to rename a vast mountain range in the heart of the Kimberleys in WA. The King Leopold Ranges was named after the brutal Belgian monarch who killed up to 10 million Congolese more than a century ago. Here's the Minister for Aboriginal Affairs in Western Australia, Ben Wyatt.
He was a nasty piece of work, and we have this odd historical artefact still with us around why it was named after King Leopold. For various reasons, though, the name still is there. Governments have been keen to change this for a long time now.
That's WA's Lands and Aboriginal Affairs Minister Ben Wyatt speaking last week. Well, in Belgium, statues of Leopold II and streets named in his honour are regular features. Joelle Sambi Nziba is a Belgo-Congolese activist and spokesperson for the Belgian Network for Black Lives. And she joins. They join me from Brussels. Hello, welcome to RN Breakfast, Joelle.
Thank you.
Joelle, what's your reaction to the hearing that in Australia the decision has been made to rename this mountain range named after King Leopold?
Well, I have to say that I've been thinking about it quite a lot, and I have to admit that I every trace of atrocity, as long as you are an activist and you fight for civil rights, I think whether it's named after Leopold II or any other person who did something like kill thousands of millions of persons, well, I will be happy about that. But I have to say that, to admit that I don't have actually a very particular opinion on the situation in Australia, because I don't think that's my place or my role to comment on Australian news. And I'm sure there is plenty of black and brown person activists in Australia, in Sydney, who can comment on that. But nevertheless, it says something that a place is called after Leopold II, who killed so many Congolese. And that's not an unknown story. It's just a story that is not taught here in Belgium. We don't teach that at school.
Yeah, that's right. And it's a mystery to me why the King Leopold Ranges in Western Australia were named after this king. But in Belgium, statues of the king are everywhere, as are street names. And in fact, he's been quite revered in your country. He's nicknamed the Builder King because of the progress he made in the cities across Belgium. But statues are now being defaced. They're being removed. How divided are Belgians over calls from groups like yours to tear down these monuments?
Well, I have to say that, like, around me, like activists and the friends and people who are not even activists, we are all eager of having another narrative, you know, like to start another conversation. The fact that we are in Belgium, we agree that there, like the Belgium Network for Black Lives agree that there's something that must be done regarding the colonial monument, street names and other symbols that glorify colonization. That's simple. That's what we are asking for. I mean, it's so traumatic, you know, like walking in a city, walking in a place that you call your country, and having everywhere elements, monuments, places, names that glorify atrocity. That's basically that. And of course, we are targeting like a monument of King Leopold II. But that's, for us, it's only a symbol. There are also bus stops that are called after name of men who participate actively to the killing of the Congolese and to exploitation of the Congo. So, yes, we think there is something to be done there.
Joelle, can you take us back a step and just fill us in on who Leopold was and what he did in the Congo? What is his legacy in Africa?
Well, Leopold II, he sort of in Berlin in 1885 was this big discussion between the like, let's say, European nation and also US, and then they divided the Africa continent, and he sort of inherited of that place who looks on the map like a dark place, unknown, no one has been really, really going there. And for quite a long time, until from 1885 until 1908, it was his private property. So he never went there. He never put one foot in the Congo, because Leopold II was also hypochondriac, like very like worried about his own health. And there was a lot of minerals, exploitation of the population, and whenever you are like used as a, you know, an enslaved in a way to work, and if you don't, there was a certain amount of mineral material that you had to bring back after a day of work, and if you don't bring that material or if you resist the order, your hands is cut. And then it becomes an habit, you know, and there's been villages that was like kids who will be taken out of their family to enforce them into the army, to become soldier, to be themselves, to the one who will look after those who were working in the field. Mm-hmm. So there has been a lot of different things, but that led to 10 million of Congolese who was killed. But then after that, when the news starts leaking outside of the Congo and of the circle of the royal family and people who were around, the UK and other artists start like news on the paper talking about the photos of the Congolese with like no feet, no hands. Yeah. Then he was forced in a way to give back the Congo to Belgium. Then right. Belgium ruled the country until 1960.
What is the legacy of all of this? I mean, we know the legacy of the wealth that Leopold generated, as I say, is described as the builder king, and he had great personal wealth. But what about the legacy in Belgium? Does Belgium acknowledge this brutal and racist past?
No, the legacy is like there is a straight line between what happened during the colonization and what we are facing now today as a Afro descent in Belgium, which is called racism. The fact that the difference between what happened in the Congo and let's say in United States, the African American, they were like shipped from Africa to United States and they were working there, so it was very visible. There, it was people were just staying in the Congo. So what you get when you have a conversation here in Belgium is that, oh, but this didn't happen here in Belgium. We were not there. We didn't see that. So we are not responsible. So it also brings something that, like, we are looked at people who complain because we don't want to work. We don't want to, you know, when African American ask for the civil rights. I mean, it's so visible because they live there. Here, because it's not taught at school, that you don't get that history at school. Everything is just about glorification of what the civilization that was brought back there in Congo. Then it leads to the fact that African descent are unemployed. That 80% of Congolese or African descent living in Belgium face racism. Right. And Belgium is like among the European country, Belgium is the last one who hire enough African descent citizens. So it says a lot about the racism, about the prejudice that we face in this country.
Joëlle, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you for having me, really.
Joëlle Sambi-Nziba is spokesperson for the Belgium Network for Black Lives.